people are able to come and go and move around. And subhanAllah, one of the immediate impacts of this treaty is that people who were in Mecca, because a lot of people in Mecca were relatives of the Muslims in Medina. We forget they were all really close to one another. So now that there's peace, oh, let's take a trip to Medina real quick. We can go see Cuzzo. You know, Cuzzo, yeah, I mean, okay. I'm chilling too much. You know, my wife, I was on my way. My wife was like, just have fun. I was like, all right, chill. Just have fun. All right. Like people are coming to visit Medina and it's not a big deal. And we see so many examples. Today we saw a hadith where Asma bint Abi Bakr, right? Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, she comes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is right after Hudaybiyah. She says, Ya Rasulullah, my mother has come to visit. Hiya raghima. She doesn't want to become Muslim. Wa hiya raghima, raghiba. But she wants to be close to me. And Asma's like, can I kick it with her? Can I be good to her? And the Prophet was like, Sali ummik, be good to your mother. Like, this is how da'wah happens. Be good to your mother, be good to your mother. So those opportunities for cross-pollinization weren't happening prior to the treaty. But there was something even bigger, y'all. See, by them, up until now, we weren't worthy of sitting down at a table with. Up until this point, we weren't able to be talked to. We weren't able to be considered. We were a ragtag group of Muslim, of a problem in the sight of the world. But now that they sat down at a table with us and they signed, they recognized us. They recognized who we were. They recognized that by even agreeing to these slanted terms, you've signed and shown that we're someone. You've recognized who we are. And that's profound. Because in the Muslim community right now, globally, what we want is recognition. We want, recognize who the people of Philistine are. Recognize those things. This was a big moment. And so this treaty was amazing. It allowed for there to be peace. And I told you at the end that Umar ibn Khattab, he was flustered. He did not know how to handle this because we're Muslims. We don't take the short end of the stick. And so he spoke really courageously, you could say, almost we could say boldly to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that moment. And later he said, that moment was so cringe for me that I gave sadaqah for the rest of my life to make up for that moment. Like every time I would flash back. So now here we are, right after leaving and coming back from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. What would be on the Prophet's mind? Like we have peace with the Quraysh. We still have a few problems of a few other tribes, but what's on his mind? From day one, the Prophet ﷺ asked Quraysh one thing. He said, can you just get out of the way so I can give this message to humanity? This is a message for everyone. So you know what he did the moment he came back? He said, all right, I want to start sending letters to all of the empires around the world. All of the empires. Now, this is crazy. Because the pragmatic side of us is like, Sheikh, we haven't conquered Mecca yet. We haven't accomplished the goal in Mecca yet. But the Prophet is like, the goal of Islam is not political. It's changing hearts. And now I have an opportunity to take this message to the four corners. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes, all right, I want to send letters to the major empires around. The major empires around. They say to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions, they say, Ya Rasulullah, these kings have protocol. They don't take letters unless there's like an official seal on them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's like, okay, cool. They made him a ring, a silver ring. And on the ring, it said, Allah Rasul Muhammad. It said, Allah Messenger Muhammad. And it's actually backwards if you read it. But because of his edab with God, he didn't want to put his name on top. So he put Allah Messenger Muhammad. And the letters began to be written. The first letter that was written, I felt like with this letter, he wanted to start off with a W. You know, like when you want to get momentum going, sometimes it's best to start with the easier win. Wallahu a'lam. So the first letter he sends is to Africa. Oh. Is to Africa. Allahu Akbar. I would go deeper, but I think you guys will accuse me of, you know, being too whatever. I go too hard on Africa, mashallah. So the first letter he sends is to Abyssinia, to the king Najashi, to the king Najashi. And it's a beautiful letter, and it's a beautiful kind of dialogue of what happened. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls a person. Now he always chose a person that had traveled to that part of the world because they know their culture a bit. Like, look at the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's choosing people that, okay, who's been there before? Because you know how they walk, you know how they talk, you know what they do, you know their customs. So the first person he calls is Amr bin Umayyah. He says, all right, I need you to go take a letter to Najashi. This was the first one that he sent. And there were two things. There were two, like, letters that he actually sent. The first letter that he sent with him, he said, I want you to send all of the people who migrated like 10 years ago, tell them to all come back to Medina now. Like, guys, you know what this means? This means the Prophet ﷺ's cousin Ja'far, who he hasn't seen in over 8 years, maybe 9 years, send all of them back. Why? There's peace now. They can all come back. And in the other part of the letter, the Prophet ﷺ sent this message. This is a letter from Muhammad ila Najashi, the king of Abyssinia. Salam, peace be upon the one who follows guidance. Peace be upon the one who follows guidance, and the one who believes in Allah and his prophet, and the one who bears witness that there's only one Allah with no partners, and he doesn't have any wife or any children, and the one who bears witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. I call you with the call of God. فَإِنِّي أَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That's it, clear. أَسْلِمْ تَسْلِمْ. Accept Islam, you'll be good. You'll be safe. You'll be in peace. And then Quran. O people of the book, come to a word that is shared between us. Come to a word that is shared between us. That we won't worship except Allah. We'll only worship Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we won't make each other gods, min dunillah. And then he says at the end, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتْ. If you refuse, the sin of your people is on you. What happened? Some say there's more to the letter. He says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ عِيسَى. He says, and I bear witness that Jesus, the son of Mary, is the spirit of God and the word of God, that he placed in the Virgin Mary, the chaste Batul, Maryam. فَحَمَلَتْ, she be conceived Isa. فَخَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah created him from his spirit, like he created Adam with his hand. I call you to Islam. What happened? The reason we study these letters is we show how simple the da'wah of the Prophet was. It wasn't very complex, it was simple. Sometimes we get too deep, y'all. We get too deep, like, just give the simplicity of, the beauty of Islam is its sense of simplicity. And then we make it complex. Well, there's like four madhabs, but you don't gotta choose one of those. Chill. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. That's it. What happens? The letter is given, is read to Najashi. He takes it. And he takes the letter and he places it on his eyes. He takes the letter and he places it on his eyes. وَنَزَلَ عَنْ سَرِيرِهِ. He got off of his throne and sat on the ground. Like, I'm not a king right now. This doesn't befit me to be sitting up here reading this prophet's letter. He sits on the ground. نَزَلَ عَنْ سَرِيرِهِ. جَلَسَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ تَوَاضُعًا. He sat on the floor out of humility. ثُمَّ أَسْلَمَ, becomes Muslim. He takes his shahada. And then he says, if I could, I would go to him right now. And he wrote a letter back. And this is the letter that he wrote back. It's so beautiful. He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He's already using the Muslim lingo. MashaAllah. The new Muslim, you call him up and they're like, Salamu Alaikum. You're like, yes. 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 And then they hit the MashaAllah, it's over. I got you. Alhamdulillah. He says, Ila Muhammad Rasulillah. to Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah. Min najashi asham. Salamun alayka ya Nabi Allah. Peace be upon you, O Prophet of God. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Got the whole thing. Min Allah, la ilaha illahu. There is no God except Allah. Alladhi hadani ila al-Islam. The one who guided me to Islam. Amma ba'd. He says, I got your letter, Ya Rasulullah. And I saw everything you said about Jesus. And he says, by Allah, the Lord of the heavens and earth, Jesus is not more than what you've said. He's not more than, you know, when you eat a date and there's that little piece of the date seed, that little skin on the date seed. He said, he's not this much more than what you said, meaning he's exactly what you said. I believe in it. Innama kama qult, as you said, we've recognized your truth. Wa ashhadu, and he says, and I bear witness that you are the Prophet of Allah. And he sent you with truth. And I pledge my allegiance to you. And I submit to the Lord of the universe. Then he says, and this is important because we're going to see how others responded. He says, wa in shitta an atika. He goes, if you want, hadir, I'll come to Medina right now. So he sent his son. And he sent 60 other courtiers to go. And he sent them with gifts and everything with this letter. Ibn Ishaq, they say that, subhanAllah, life happens. While the son and the other courtiers were in the ship, they were crossing the sea and they drowned. A storm came, they drowned on their way to go see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Shaheed, shuhada, inshaAllah ta'ala. The key here though, the key here, one quality we have to notice with the people of Abyssinia, and one quality that we have to notice from Bilal and Najashi and the people of Abyssinia is humility. Humble. Humble. The humble heart is the one that gets hidayah. But the moment you get that arrogance inside, there's hadith that said knowledge doesn't come to the arrogant heart. It doesn't come. You have to humble yourself. And what did he do? He literally got off his seat and he sat on the floor. And that's where the hidayah came from. 2 years later, Najashi passes away. 2 years after shahada. 2 years later, he passes away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathers the Sahaba on the day he died. And he said, Mata al-yawm rajulun salih. A pious man died today. Let's gather together. We'll pray. There are so many people that died in his absence. This is the one time in his life he prayed Salatul Janazah Ghaib. Meaning he said, we're in Medina, but we're praying for his janazah. There's no one there to pray for him. There's no one there to pray for him. There's no one there to pray for him. Let's pray his janazah. The only one in the seerah where the Prophet prayed Salatul Janazah, the prayer for janazah when someone passes away, but he prayed it in his absence, far away, miles and miles away. Only one was this African king who accepted the message. Radiallahu an. If you're from those places, if you come at all through that lineage, how much do you owe to this man? How much do you owe to this man? And his ability to not let power blind him from accepting the truth. That's huge. Why? What happens next? The next is a long one, but it's beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a letter to the king of the Byzantium Empire, Hiraqal. This is a very interesting one. He sends Dihya al-Kalabi. Dihya al-Kalabi was a very handsome man. Extremely handsome. Like, he used to cover up. I'm not even joking. He's like, if I go out not cover, I'm fitna. He was so handsome, subhanAllah, Jibra'il used to come in his form. Jibra'il used to come in the form of Dihya al-Kalabi. All y'all like, yeah, I kind of look like him too, you know what I mean? That's how we are, subhanAllah. Yo, chill out, relax. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Dihya al-Kalabi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote the letter. He had it sealed. He gave it to Dihya al-Kalabi and he told him, I want you to take this to the leader of Busra, because Hiraqal was the leader of the Byzantium Empire, Rum. You can't walk to him. You can't just knock at the White House door and ask whoever to talk to you. you have to go through procedure. So he sent him first to the leader of Busra, and that leader of Busra was going to take the letter up higher if he saw fit. Now, ironically, this is amazing. Nothing in life is by coincidence. Everything by the taqdeer of Allah. When the Byzantium Empire defeated the Persians, Hiraqal had said, I take an oath by God. He was a very religious man, extremely religious, tapped into Christianity, like tapped in. So he made an oath that if we beat the Persian Empire, I'm going to walk to Baytul Maqdis and do pilgrimage. I'm going to walk. I won't ride. I'm going to walk as a gratitude to God. And we know the Seerah tells us they beat the Persians. And so he happens to be in Baytul Maqdis. He happens to be in Ilya'a, in Baytul Maqdis. He's in Baytul Maqdis, and he wakes up one night after having this terrible dream. Actually, a great dream. But for him, it was terrible. And in this dream, he saw that this new king had risen and taken his empire away. He wakes up the next morning, and all of his courtiers, they're like, something's wrong with you. What's wrong? And he was into astrology a lot, you know, retrograde, all that stuff. He was into astrology a lot. So he said, I saw a dream and I've been looking into the stars. And that final prophet is supposed to come. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I think he's going to come from the Jews. He sends out this order that I want all of the Jews that are in our kingdom, I want them killed. While that's happening, lo and behold, someone shows up from Busra, letting him know, hey, there's this thing happening down in the Arabian Peninsula. We just got a letter of someone that wants to talk to you, claiming he's a prophet of God. His mind is blown. What's going on? Everything's happening at the same time. He sends words back to a priest in Rome that this is what's happening. Tell me what you think. He's waiting to hear back. In that time, Dihya al-Kalabi is brought forward. Dihya al-Kalabi is brought forward, the, you know, handsome man, right? And he finds out that these people, he says, is there anyone from this man who's claiming prophethood, is there anyone from his people in this area? Qadr Allah masha'a. Guess who was in the same area, y'all? Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was the arch enemy of the Prophet his whole life. His life has been dedicated to going against the Prophet. He's up in Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdis, doing business. He said, I was in a group at a table selling something. All of a sudden, Byzantium soldiers surround me, and they say, come on, you have to go to the Hiraqal.
Hiraqal?
Like, what? I'm low. I'm nothing. He's brought forward. In the meantime, the letter comes. The letter comes. Dihya brings the letter. The letter is presented to Hiraqal. What does the letter say? Listen to the words of the Prophet that he wrote. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And obviously they had translators. Min Muhammad Abdullah wa Rasulihi ila Hiraqal Azim al-Rum. He said, from Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, to the great king of the Byzantium Empire. You know what scholars say? Look how he respected his position. Look how he said, Azim al-Rum. He didn't say like, he respected him. He didn't say, Anzilu Nas, because the Prophet's sunnah is treat people according to their level. Understand people. Treat them according to their level. Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda. May peace be upon the one who follows righteousness. Amma ba'd. I call you, same words. I call you with the call of Islam. Accept Islam, you will be in peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your reward double. But if you turn away, then you have the sin of all your people. He reads the letter. He reads the letter and he's struck. He saw the dream. He's been looking at his stars. He has priests and courtiers that he's communicating with. This last prophet is supposed to be coming. And here the letter is in front of me. But I need you to understand something. He's at what moment in his life is he at, y'all? He literally just defeated the Persian Empire. He's at his high point of his career. He just got promoted to, you know, executive board. I don't know. He's at that point where it's like, I finally made it to this spot. I'm at the top of the world. And this letter comes to this religious man who's been knows this knowledge of prophecy. So he calls that Abu Sufyan to come. Abu Sufyan comes forward. But Abu Sufyan, there's a group. He didn't come by himself. There's five or six other people from Mecca. It happens every halakha, right? My bad, y'all. There's five or six people from Mecca that are with him. He brings them forward. And when he brings them forward, he's sitting on his throne in Baytul Maqdis. May Allah free it. So he's speaking through translators. The hadith tells us he's speaking through translators. And what does he say? He's looking at this group of 10 people from Mecca. They're sitting in front of the superpower of the world. What are they going to talk to us about? What is he going to say? He says, which one of you is closest to this guy who claims he's a prophet? Abu Sufyan's like, oh my God, that's what this is about? We thought this guy was like nothing. And here I am in front of Hirqal and he's bringing this up. He says, which one of you is closest to this man? Abu Sufyan says, I am. I have the closest lineage to him. Hirqal says, bring him close and bring those other people up a little bit too. He says, I want you, Abu Sufyan, to stand in front of them. And I want them to stand behind you. Everyone looking at me though. And he says, I'm going to ask this man some questions. And if he lies at all, I want y'all behind me to tell me. I want y'all behind me to let me know if he lies. So he starts to ask him questions. Abu Sufyan, he goes, Wallah, I would have lied. I would have lied about everything he said. But I didn't want to be known as a liar amongst my people. That shows you how the Arabs were. Why did Allah choose these people for where the Prophet would come from? Even though they were on kufr, they had the most beautiful qualities. He's like, I did not want to be known as a liar. There's no way I could go back and these people go back to Mecca and say, yeah, he's a good guy, but he lies. He said, so I was forced to speak the truth. He says, I'm going to ask you some questions and I want you to be true to me. And then he says, what do you say about this man? Right away, Abu Sufyan has his chance. He goes, he's a magician. He's a liar. You don't want to know anything about him. He's a horrible person. Hirqal is intelligent. He's read a lot. He goes, I don't want to hear your ad hominem remarks. I don't want to hear your curse words. I want you to answer my questions that I ask you. Abu Sufyan goes, okay, I'm in front of Hirqal. What am I going to do? Question number one. He says, what's his lineage? Like, what type of family does he come from? Abu Sufyan says, well, he has a high lineage. He's from a very noble people. He says, question number two, did anyone from y'all people ever make this claim before that they were a prophet? Abu Sufyan says, I said, no, he's the first. Number three, he says, was his father a king? He goes, nah, it wasn't. He says, do the wealthy, high class, posh people follow him or the weak, poor people follow him? Abu Sufyan goes, no, it's poor people following him. It's weak people following him. He said, are they increasing or decreasing? Abu Sufyan, I can't lie. He goes, they're increasing. He says, does any one of them turn away from this deen after they have truly accepted it and spent time with him? Do they turn away and leave the deen? He's like, no, they never leave. They're stuck. You know, when I accepted Islam, 20 years ago, my mom, she went to a friend of mine, right? And she said to the friend, is this a phase Michael's going through? And this friend was like, nah, this ain't no phase. Alhamdulillah, may Allah keep us strong. May Allah keep us strong. May Allah keep us strong, right? But once you taste that sweetness of the deen, Allahu Akbar. So he says, he asks him more questions. He says, do any of them leave? He goes, no, none of them leave. He said, have y'all ever accused this man of lying before this? Sufyan, how can I answer? He goes, no, he was Sadiq al-Amin. Like, nah, he never lied before. He said, has he been treacherous to you? He goes, no, but we're in a treaty right now. I don't know what he's gonna do. Abu Sufyan says that was the only time I could slip something in. Like, has he ever cheated you? He goes, no, no, but we're in a treaty. I don't know what's gonna happen in the future. He might. He says, have y'all fought? He goes, yeah, we fight a lot. Like, yeah, that's what we've been doing. He says, yes, we've been fighting quite a bit. He says, how often do you win and they win? Abu Sufyan goes, al-harb sijal. We win some, they lose some. Hiraqal's like, oh, okay. And then he says, what does he tell y'all to do? What is he ordering his people to do? And I can't imagine Abu Sufyan. I can see Iman slipping into him as this dialogue is going on. He goes, he tells them to worship Allah alone and don't worship these idols. And he tells them to pray, give charity, be chaste, and join family ties. Abu Sufyan probably like, why am I against this again? And he actually is thinking that. We'll see at the end. So then Hiraqal says, that's the questions. Let me tell you why I asked each one. He's a man of scripture. He says, I asked you if he had a high lineage, because Allah always sends his prophets from good lineage. He says, I asked you if anyone ever said this before, because I would say he's just imitating what somebody else said. But you said no. I asked you if his father was a king, because then I would say he's just trying to get his father's kingdom back. Now, you know what I thought about? Let's digress for a moment. Can you imagine if this letter went after Fath Mecca? This letter went before Mecca was conquered. There's no political, we haven't gained anything yet. Can you imagine what Hiraqal may have thought if this happened after Fath Mecca? Oh, this is a king trying to expand his kingdom. But by the wisdom of God, in between Hudaybiyah and Fath Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ acts upon those sparks that he saw in the trench, and he sends the letters out. He says, I asked you if the posh, wealthy people are following him, or the weaker, dhu'afa, poorer people. And you said, the poor. He said, hum atba'u rusul. Those are the people that follow the prophets. Those are the people that follow the prophets. This is heavy, because we see that the prophet had an extremely tight relationship with the weak of the community. He always had an eye out for the weak. And he used to tell people, you want to find me? Find me with the du'afa. Find me with the masakeen. The Quraysh, they one time in Mecca, they came to the prophet. They said, we'll sit down to listen to you, but we can't sit with them. We can't sit with them. Do you know verses came down? Verses came down. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Never turn away from these people. These are your people. You know what's amazing about this? There's nothing wrong in the deen with having wealth. But you know what's beautiful? There's no extra fadila for being rich. You don't get more barakah. But there's so many hadith on the virtues being weak and poor. There's not one hadith that's like, if you're rich, you'll get into Jannah like that. Like, Sahaba had wealth, don't get me wrong. You've heard those khutbas before, you've heard that. But Hiraqal is like, the people who accept this message are the people that see the change and the positive that it could bring. But the leaders, they don't want the change. They don't want the change. They don't want society to change. Because that means I got to have a two-state, you know, I got to give up some of this real estate. I got to stop this haram business. I got to stop this thing. The wealthy don't want that. And so the Prophet ﷺ taught us one of the most profound things on the Shabab is to spend time with the underprivileged. These are the followers of the Rusul. And not to create these country clubs of just wealth. Reach out, y'all. Reach out. The Prophet ﷺ saw a dream, and he saw Uthman ibn Affan, or Abdurrahman bin Auf, forgive me. Abdurrahman bin Auf. It was the day of judgment, and they were moving. But Abdurrahman bin Auf was trying to catch up. They were like moving forward. And he told them the dream. And Abdurrahman, like, yo, this shocked his world. He said, why was I catching up? He's like, because you had still to do a lot of accounting for your budget, for your wealth. You just had a longer hisab. In that moment, he gave everything away. But he was so blessed. They say if he picked up a rock, he'd find gold under it. No, he was just barakah. There was just barakah in him. Barakah. So Hiraqal goes, the followers are the weak people because those are the followers of prophets. Those are the followers of prophets. That's why our inner city dawah has to be on point. That's where the underprivileged inner city, rural areas, dawah. He says, I asked you, are they increasing or decreasing? You said they were increasing. He says, that's how iman grows. I asked you if any of them leave the religion after they have accepted. You said no. He says, كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ حِينَ تُخَالِتُ بَشَاتَةَ قُلُوبِ. That's faith when it penetrates the heart. When faith penetrates the heart, that's it. It stays. I asked you if you ever accused him of lying, ever, and you said no. He says, because Allah never places this message on a liar. And he goes through all of these. How, here's the one that really hits us. He says, I asked you if y'all fight. You said yes. And I asked you who wins. You said he wins and you win sometime. He says, this is how it is with prophets. They don't just keep winning every war. They don't win every battle. They take L's because in L's we learn lessons. That's what L stands for, yo. Tweet that, yo. I like that. I didn't plan that, but whatever. No, seriously, we think, like, the Prophet had a camel. He had a camel that kept winning. They used to race camels, right? Like, dudes be racing cars, they used to race camels. And the Prophet, no ideas, bro, no. The Prophet ﷺ's camel kept winning. And everyone's like, yes, that's the one time it lost. Everyone was just heartbroken. And the Prophet, I said this last week, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah doesn't raise anything except that he lowers it too. He lowers it too. So so Hiraqal goes, that's prophets. They win, they lose. They win, they lose. But then he goes, wal aqibatu. But the outcome at the end will be their victory. That we'll win, we'll lose, we'll win, we'll lose. But the outcome at the end will be with the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens? Hiraqal, he tells Abu Sufyan to leave. Abu Sufyan goes, in that moment, I realize that this issue with my nephew wasn't going away. He said, I realized this thing was serious now. Islam is not a joke. This is it. I realized it at that point. In that moment, Hiraqal is confused. He sends Dihya al-Kalabi, the one that brought the letter. He says, I want you to go to this bishop in this city, Daqtar. Go to him and tell him everything you told me. See what he does. He goes out. Hiraqal's trying to figure stuff out. He's still waiting to get news back from his other scholars in Rome and other places. He goes out to Daqtar. He gives him this news. He's talking to this bishop. These are people who knew the true Christianity. The narration says, he's wearing black. He changes his clothes. He puts on white. He says, Ashhadu anna, what you're saying, I bear witness what you're saying is true. He comes out of the church and he says, the glad tidings of the final prophet Ahmed have come to us. I bear witness that this man, immediately as he's speaking, the whole crowd just pounces on him. He's killed Shaheed right there. Killed Shaheed right in that moment. Hiraqal doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. He heads back to Homs in Syria. Because he has a bunch of courtiers there, by the time he gets back, he got a letter back from Rome. This is the prophet we've been waiting for. He gathers all of his courtiers in a room. He locks the room. These are all the bishops, heads of state, everyone. And he says this speech, and I'm going to paraphrase it so we can get through these lessons. He says, قَالَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الرُّومِ, O people of Rome, هَلْ لَكُمْ فِي الْفَلَاحِ, would you like success, rushd, guidance? Would you like to keep your kingdom? If so, let's follow this prophet. Everyone goes crazy. The whole room goes crazy. They ran for the doors. He had locked them. No way to leave. He sees their reaction. And he makes a decision in this moment. And this is a decision that all of us have to make in different parts of our life. That will we sacrifice this fleeting world for the truth? We don't have a kingdom that's at stake here, but we have our own things that are at stake. He made a choice in this moment that he could not give up his position. It was too good. I'm at the height of my career. They'll kill me the way they killed that bishop out there. He calls them all back and he says, listen, I was testing you. I was testing you and you all passed the test. Hold on to Christianity. Never, ever let it go. They leave. He comes back to Dihya and he writes a letter. He writes a letter and he says, I want you to tell your prophet that he says to him, listen to his words. He says, Wallahi inni la'alam anna sahibaka nabiyun. He says, Wallahi, I know your man is a prophet. Wa annahu alladhi kunna, he's the one we were waiting for. Walakin akhafu, I'm scared. Ala nafsi, and I don't want to lose my kingdom. You know, when the Dihya al-Kalabi came back, he also said, like, I believe in him. This, and the Prophet said, kathaba, he's lying. If he believed, he would have did what Najashi did. What I want you to notice is the contrast between Najashi and Hiraqal. Look at the humility. Look at the ability to just give up all of that for truth. And look, and we look at Hiraqal and we go, man, really? But we sell out the deen for a lot less, y'all. Just be real with yourself. Man, if I was Hiraqal, I would have. No, please. Please, don't say that. I would have. Just look at what Allah is asking us to sacrifice. A lot less. So he sent a few more letters. It's almost time for Maghrib. I wanted to do one more letter that he sent. He sent a letter to Egypt, Misriyin, mashallah. He sent a letter to Egypt, to Muqawqis, king of Egypt, who's also Christian. It's a very powerful letter. Actually, I'm going to do a different letter with just the remaining few minutes I have. He sent a letter to the Persian king. The Persian king, at this time, their whole kingdom, they had just lost to the Byzantium Empire, but their kingdom also covered Yemen. And if you're from that place, listen to this story. It's powerful. He sent Abdullah bin Hudhafa to take this letter to the Persian king, Khosrus, Kisra. And when he got there, he brought the letter forward, and the messenger began to read the letter. And the moment the man said, Min Muhammad Rasulullah ila Kisra, Kisra stopped him. And he said, why is his name above my name? He took the letter and he ripped it. He ripped the letter right there. I don't want to hear anything else. Get out of here. Flee from this place. He sent the messenger back. When that messenger reaches back, the prophet says, this is weeks later, it takes time. The prophet says, he didn't rip my letter, he ripped up his kingdom. He ripped up his own kingdom, that's what he did. In the meantime, this emperor, this king, he sent a letter to Ba'dan, not too many names, but just for a moment. He's the one in charge of Yemen. If you're from Yemen, listen to this story. He sent the letter to the king of Yemen, who's under him. And he said, I want you to go and bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. So the king of Yemen, who's under Kisra, he goes to Medina. He goes to Medina. He actually passes through Mecca. 5 minutes. He actually passes through Mecca. And as he's passing through Mecca, these messengers are coming, entourage, all the pompous of courtiers, of high people. Everyone's like, where are these heads headed to? Right? Oh, we're going to get Muhammad. The king of Kisra wants him. And the people of Quraysh are like, oh, it's over for this Islam. It's over now. The superpower of the world wants him. It's over now. They make it to Medina. And they come to the prophet in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ does not have any guards. He doesn't have any protectors. The Prophet ﷺ was on another level of tawakkuf. And these people walk in with all of their, you know, assumed strength. And the narration is powerful. I want to read what it says. Yeah, they arrive and they come in and they said, our king, Shahanshah, like king of kings. They said, our king is summoning you and he wants you to come. And if you don't come, you know our power. We will destroy this whole city, da-da-da-da-da. You know what the narration says? فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet smiled. He smiled. You know, someone at work is tripping. I'm going to cancel your contract. And you're just like, my risk is in the hands of Allah. You don't stop me from eating. He smiles. And then he gives him da'wah. I want y'all to become Muslim. Like what? Did you hear what we just said? The king of the country, of this, one of the largest empires of the world is calling you. He's like, yeah, whatever. I want you to accept Islam. And he's talking to them. They had cut their hair in an interesting way, and he commented on that. And he said, I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Let's talk tomorrow. Okay. Let's talk tomorrow. The next day, Gabriel comes down. This is amazing. Gabriel comes down, and he informs the prophet that Kisra has been killed by his son. The Prophet ﷺ comes out to these two leaders, these two guards, and he says, listen, I have been informed by God. Listen to this narration. Tell your king, because they were sent by the king of Yemen, who was sent by the king of thing. He said, tell your two leaders that inna rabbi qatala rabbah, my Lord killed your Lord. Look, the Prophet's strong. Not holding back. He's strong in this moment. Like he said, go back. Go back. Your orders don't exist anymore. And this is what happened on this night at this hour. This is what happened to him. The two guards, we'll wrap it up now. The two guards go back to Badan. He's the Yemeni king. This man, the Yemeni king goes, this man is different. This man isn't normal. He goes, he asked the guards, he was like, what was he like? The guards were like, he didn't care. He wasn't worried about us. He had no guards around him. Specifically, he says, La yakhafu shay'a. I'm going to end with this. The two guards, they said, he didn't fear anything. May Allah give us that. When you have that tawakkul in Allah, where you're like, I'm good. I have Allah. He says, La yakhafu. He was no one protecting him. So finally, within the same day, a few days later, Badan gets word from the son of Kisra that my father's dead. I killed him. And as for those orders for that man, delay those orders. Badan accepts Shahada right there. If you're from Yemen, you owe something to Badan. He accepts Islam right in that moment. Sends word to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I'm sorry for everything I did in the past. I'm your follower now. The Prophet ﷺ said, now you're the king of Yemen. Take care of it. Be just and hold up Islam there. Brothers and sisters, this was a beautiful moment from the Prophet ﷺ's life where the Prophet ﷺ proved to us and showed us this wasn't about political power. This was about spreading La ilaha illallah to every heart that he could. And the moment the Quraysh got out of his way, the first thing he did was send a letter to different corners of the world so that me and you in 2024 in the corner of Dallas, Texas could say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That was his mission. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. May Allah give us that fearlessness. May Allah give us the humility of Najashi and protect us from the arrogance and the heedlessness of Hiraqal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be the best custodians of this message. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا.
about. That's what we're waiting for.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح